I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles.
I will close Guantanamo. I will restore habeas corpus.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network.
I'm going to be the freest country in the world when you lock more of your own people in cages than any other country in the world. The lesson of 9/11 should have been to never fund another young rebel group in this part of the world again.
America started as the smallest government in history, and it's become the biggest government in world history.
At the end of the day, it's all about freedom.
Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What is up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Back in the Gas Digital Studios, where we belong. And back joined by Mike Brancatelli.
What's up?
We are together again. That'd be great if it was just not you and I just had someone else do that every time. So what do you think about that, Mike Brancatelli? What's up? Good point. Moving on.
Hello, I am Mike Brancatelli.
Anyway, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
It's good to be back in the city. Thanks for my apologies for the short episodes the last couple. And although people did, I had lots of good things to say about the episode, particularly with Big J that everyone seemed to enjoy.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that was fun. And look, today is also going to be a little bit of a short episode, but we will have a bonus episode out for you this week. As I said, I got
you're doing stuff.
I got last minute called in to go in to do Red Eye tonight. I already had. Did Kennedy earlier, Red Eye Tonight podcast, stand up later. I got a lot of stuff going on today. Anyway, not only do I have a lot of stuff going on, so does the world.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll start here for this episode. Well, let's just put it out like this. Trump murdered an 8-year-old girl the other day. Seen a lot about it in the press? Not really. Because it's not getting that widely reported. But, I mean, I guess it's not a complete certainty yet, but it's an all-but certainty. Trump murdered an 8-year-old girl. Along with a bunch of other people, by the way, that Trump murdered. But yeah. I think I'll stick with the 8-year-old girl because there's just murdered an 8-year-old girl has a certain ring to it. There's not too many people, too many positions in life other than being in, I guess, the United States federal government where anybody thinks you should get a pass for having murdered an 8-year-old girl the other day. But Trump murdered an 8-year-old girl. And, as we've seen, there's been outrageous protests over, I don't know. It seems an Iraqi was held at the airport for a few hours. And that does, I will agree that there's something kind of wrong about that. And it's not great. But just going to throw it out there again. Anybody who's on the left out there protesting Donald Trump murdered an 8-year-old girl. Maybe throw that into your protest language. I'm just saying, if I was protesting against somebody, whoever it might be, for whatever reason, and it came to my knowledge that they murdered an 8-year-old girl, I'd probably use that in my protest, even if I was protesting them about something else.
The key
related.
Is coming into your knowledge.
All right. I want to get into the libertarian – I'm sorry. I want to get into the whole immigration executive order in a second because this is what everybody's just going nuts about. And maybe we could talk about a few other topics as well. But it is, you know, got to start off with this. To all the libertarians out there, and that I'm really talking to the ANCAPs, okay? The anarcho-capitalist libertarians who were supporting Donald Trump. And to just other anarcho-capitalists out there too. Not that anybody who doesn't listen to this show, who's not an anarcho-capitalist, even if you're not full-blown anarcho-capitalist like me and Mike Brancatelli
are. You're semi-blown.
That's fine. You could just be semi-blown. That's cool. Still, thanks for listening. But right now, I'm talking to us for a second. Donald Trump killed an 8-year-old girl. He murdered her. And he also murdered a whole bunch of other people. You can't ignore that. If you want to at all pretend to have any consistency with this thing at all, for all the people who were like promoting Donald Trump on these anti-war grounds, you know, these anarcho-capitalists who have been amongst the like champions of anti-war rhetoric for years. Okay, well, now he's a murderer. I've been saying for years going out here that one of the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was that Hillary Clinton is a murderer and Donald Trump is not. Well, that's over.
Yeah, now he is.
Now he is. Yeah. And we knew he would be. And look, I'm not saying Hillary Clinton obviously probably, you know, would murder some people too. So fine, but that's over. Now Trump's in there. I don't want to hear any of you guys being his little bitch anymore. Like, enough supporting this guy. I mean, we'll go through this over and over again, but no more supporting this guy. He's the enemy now, too. Don't get me wrong. We have every right to be skeptical about any type of alliances with other people here. I'll get through that, too. But Donald Trump is now officially a murderer, and it's just... I mean, again, for some people who have really broken this down before and who understand the anti-war position, understand what we've been doing for basically since the inception of our military, you know, whatever. Those people should know. They know what's up. They've been talking about this for years. So anyway, now and now you see why somebody like me wouldn't support him. And I got to say, I'm proud that we did. I'm proud that we never supported this now murderer. I really am. I'm proud of the. I look at a lot of people, and I think this last election really, like, cut the grass to let the snake show type of thing. I think within the libertarian community, it's like people who, and I'm not disrespect. Look, there's people out there like Walter Block endorsed Donald Trump. I have nothing but support for Walter Block, but I just think it was a bad decision, man. Why put your name attached to a guy who's going to go on to be a killer? I mean, what does that do for us long term? We're trying to start a revolution here. You got to keep your brand pure to some degree. Mm-hmm. Stay on the right side of things. As far as other people who have anarcho-capitalists who have gotten on board with this Donald Trump thing, the idea that just not letting some other demographics, you know, a few, by the way, if you're talking about the overall demographic change, it's a little drop in the bucket, but not letting a few people in is somehow can let you off the hook for murder. I just think you're undoing all of the work you've done for years.
Yeah. I think it was good of us to kind of stick where we did with this whole thing, because I mean, look, we all heard him during the campaign, right? Yeah. We all heard what he said about targeting their families. Yeah. Right, bringing back torture, all that stuff, that was no good. So I don't know how anyone could get behind him for doing that stuff. And then there he goes, you know, overseeing and authorizing this attack.
Right, and this, and you have
30
to have
people, including this 8-year-old girl who was shot in the neck.
Yeah, and from what it looked, at least what the eyewitness reports from the beginning are saying, she suffered for hours before she died. And this was a strike in Yemen. Of course, Obama had actually been leaving Yemen alone for the last couple years after droning the fuck out of them from the beginning of his career. You're talking about, you know, one of the poorest countries in the world, the poorest country that we bomb over there, and they're all pretty poor, but they're the worst off. Of course, we have been arming and funding Saudi Arabia, who's been in there for the whole time, and so there's a lot of disasters going on there.
Right. Yeah.
But anybody who thought that, you know, maybe Trump was going to represent going in a different direction in terms of foreign policy, which I'll admit for everyone on our side was at least the hope. This is a pretty good indication that ain't happening. He's listening to the military intelligence around him, and he's going to follow this same path forward. Just saying another word on the libertarians when I say they cut the grass, let the snake show thing. I mean, you see who's. Who are the real guys? And I'll tell you, man, like I've been convinced for quite a while now, and I've never seen an argument on the other side to convince me otherwise. But as it started off with kind of like Murray Rothbard got on that, you know, this war is the whole center of this libertarian business. That's what this shit is all about. That's why, by the way, if you don't see the connection, this is why I'll defend someone like Jeremy Scahill, and I'll also defend someone like Richard Spencer's right to not get punched in the face. Because honestly, being anti-war is more important than any of this other shit, okay? It really is. Being against mass murder is more important than any of these other dumb things, and I don't care who's for or against price controls at that point, you know? Like, I don't care who, you know, has read their free market economics as long as they're against mass murder. That being said, you know, it's like today a good example of, you know, where that Rothbard war is at the center of this business. I mean, to me, Scott Horton is a good libertarian. That's who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Dana, are we really just taking calls here? Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, well, I still step out of the room and take it. Anyway, unless we're not on the air, don't take a call in the
room.
You're
fired.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, Scott Horton, that's the libertarians brand that we want to fight. And there'll be a lot of like arguing between, you know, like the left libertarians, and then sometimes there'll be these more alt-right leaning libertarians. And, you know, the Scott Horton is the guy who's got it right. That's right where I think we should be.
Of course, man. And you know who else got it right is the people that told us exactly what we're doing over there, and that why they hate us and why they're attacking us, and people like Ron Paul, who was like, look, blowback, like, this is what's happening. So I mean, this is a continuation of that, and Trump, you know, supposedly doesn't want that to, he doesn't want terrorist attacks to happen. Yet he goes in and kills people in Yemen, and it's like, well, they hate us for that.
Yeah, and one way or the other, you're going to guarantee this problem's going to persist as long as, look, the empire is what causes this terrorism to begin with, and you know, if you want to expand the empire, and this really does represent that Trump is going to quite possibly now, just as Obama did to Bush, he is going to expand this covert war, these dirty wars, as Jeremy Scahill used to write.
Yeah.
Wrote about it. Anyway, you know, Trump killed an 8-year-old girl. Say it a few more times if you can. Trump killed an 8-year-old girl from eyewitness reports. She suffered greatly before she died. And that's what we're dealing with here. So
And is there any kind of like mass media exposure to this topic, or is it all?
Well, look,
all,
I mean, you'll see it's we're right back to where we've always been, where, you know, there's like these, you know, I'll give Glenn Greenwald credit at the Intercept. He wrote a good article about it. And you have the Independent and Reuters and these articles and these, you know, things that we'll cover. And of course, like I said, Scott Horton has this Libertarian Institute, and there's other people who have, and you know, like a anti-war radio and that stuff, and he'll be on it. And right, there's people like some Mises people and stuff like that. But you know, overall speaking, no. Yeah. While there are these mass protests, there's absolutely nothing. Look, man, what Trump's doing here is none of it's good. None of it's good. It's this is a guy who's coming in and right away throwing down authoritarian executive authority, you know, throwing down executive order after executive order. I know there's some talk of deregulating a little bit here and there, but what's going on more or less is going like, we're going to take control of expand government's kind of border control, expand government's kind of clamp down on immigration, drone strikes in Yemen. I mean, this is a, or not drone strikes, I'm sorry, this was a military raid.
They used Reaper drones.
Yeah.
Reaper drones. You hear that? Yeah. They used that for like air cover, and then they went in with the raid. And
Reaper drones. Reminds me of this Death Wish coffee I'm drinking. Very good, by the way. They sent us a bunch. Reaper raids. Death Wish coffee.
You are a professional.
Look at that. Anyway, yes, it's not actually an ad. I'm just joking. But they're a good copy. Anyway, they it really is. You know, look, I mean, to anybody, this, even when I'll say this stuff with the immigration, I don't think this is going to do anything effective. I don't think this is going to keep America safe at all, or that this is the answer. If you think we're going to keep bombing the shit out of them, but then we'll make it tougher for them to come over here, dude, this war is going to destroy us one way or the other unless we end it, unless we fucking end it. It's literally our only hope. That being said, we'll eventually do it through bankruptcy, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, that you're talking about this immigration ban. I mean, what about, like, Saudi Arabia? Most of the hijackers from 9/11 came from Saudi Arabia, didn't they? Yeah. They're not banned.
Well, of course they don't make it onto the list because everybody's doing business with the Saudis. Yeah, now, Donald Trump, because he is the master troll, he took Obama's list of countries that the Obama administration had deemed had made all high risk countries and used them, and that was his justification just to troll all of these people who are protesting him, that your precious Obama actually took he was the one who laid out the blueprint for this plan, in a sense. Look, I just want to say before we're moving on to other people who are libertarians, how much this guy, obviously it's time to be in complete opposition to Donald Trump. So here's a guy, again, if you needed more than murdered an 8-year-old girl, which you probably shouldn't. If Donald Trump has showed all of his authoritarian tendencies in his speeches to be, you know, grounded in reality, that's clearly what he's doing, is he comes in here with executive order after executive order. Economically speaking, he's going to be a nightmare. He's going to try to use the power of the state to stimulate the economy. It's going to be a goddamn nightmare. I really do. All those people who I didn't take this too seriously when they would be like, he's going to start a trade war. I actually think Donald Trump might start a trade war at this point. He's just pissing everybody off. He's also, look, man, say what you will about Iran and the Iranian deal, when you see things like you know, he's banning people from Iran from traveling here, and then Iran in response bans people traveling over there. Dude, there's nothing. If Donald Trump starts having friction with Iran, do not think that all of these neocons who are right around him will not pounce in and make sure we get that war that we want out of them.
Yeah.
Look, let me tell you this for all the, and this is what I'll say, just finally, kind of like in closing to this portion too. All the other libertarians out there who in any way supported Donald Trump and said that, you know, and a lot of them did it on anti-war grounds, and a lot of them did it on the grounds that we had to break up this Obama, Clinton, Bush machine. Look, when you see Donald Trump coming in, passing executive order after executive order, and you see Donald Trump launching an attack in Yemen where Obama was already laying off, and then you see Donald Trump talking about border control, you see him talking about tariffs, you see him talking about sending feds into Chicago, okay? You see the authoritarian nature of Donald Trump, and I really think you need to play this out in your head, okay? And this is starting to really scare me quite a bit. What do you think is going to happen if there's a terrorist attack? I mean, be honestly, consider that possibility that there's a terrorist attack, and what do you think Donald Trump's response is going to be? Because this is what's getting me, because there is going to be, I mean, I hope it's not like a 9/11 style thing, but at the least there's going to be a shooting, you know, there'll be a shooting with a Muslim behind it. I mean, that's the world we live in now, is there'll be some of those things. And what's Donald Trump, and if you think it's any other direction than clamping down on civil liberties and pushing towards war, I just don't, I don't think you're looking at the facts objectively. I don't think you're looking at the trends objectively. I mean, this is a really scary thing, and no libertarian should be on board with this guy at all. Look, even if you felt defeating Hillary was that much of a necessary goal, okay, well, that's over. Start disassociating yourself now. Start gaining back a little bit of credibility. Yeah. You know, there's this whole thing where everyone loses their fucking credibility for not being consistent. It's a beautiful thing about being consistent. But, of course, everybody knows this, that when Republicans at the Tea Party, when they started going, Obama's debt is out of control, what was the first thing that everyone on the left was able to slap back at him with? Where were you under Bush? Where were you when Bush was spending up record high deficits? And I got to say, for like 90% of those guys, it was a good point. It was a good point. They weren't saying anything when Bush was doing it. They were looking the other way. Then, you know, you kind of had the opposite thing on the left where they were all outraged about war under Bush, but now they've been quiet under Obama. And now they're in this weird position where if they come out and start trying to complain about this, they're going to be considered hypocrites. That being said, man, it is, it really is. Trump does this weird thing where, as scary as he still is and as against him as I have always been, he just he's in the Trump moment. It's so amazing how he just exposes everybody on the other side. I said this on Kennedy today, but it's like, you know, people on the left love the CIA, and now that was like a big one that we loved while.
Yeah,
when people on the left were just worshiping the CIA and it's like, saying Russia's the enemy. Like, you guys are cold warriors. Okay, that's where you're at now. And then today... Well, it's John McCain said that, you know, he's against the Muslim ban because he thinks it's it could be used as propaganda in the war on terror and stuff like that. And you're like, oh my God, the neocons are worried about blowback? Like, who has Trump not just turned on their head? Mm-hmm. Who is not just 180 degrees like exposed just that hypocrisy of war? It really is quite amazing to watch. The neocons, by the way, it really is just amazing to me. All of a sudden, they are concerned about human rights violations of Iraqis.
Well, sure, when it concerns them.
How this could lead to blowback. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's always been a big concern of yours. I always love the thing where they'll always say something like, you know, all of a sudden when the Democrats or the Republicans get into the idea of blowback. So here's John McCain saying that kind of, well, this could be used as a recruiting tool. And if you remember, Hillary Clinton hit Donald Trump with this accusation over the campaign. She said, you know, Donald Trump's proposed Muslim ban could be used as a recruiting tool. And you're like, you guys murder them. Mm-hmm. By the hundreds of thousands. And you're worried about this guy. Well, you said mean stuff. This could get them amped up. I mean, it really is just unbelievable, and I don't know. It's fun to watch in a way, as scary as the whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trump, as we knew, you know, he's surrounded himself by some pretty creepy right-wing authoritarian people, right? And this is the problem with all this stuff. This is what I kind of have been critical of, like, you know, people like Milo Yiannopoulos, who do this amazing job of kind of tearing down the left and present themselves as this kind of radical, dangerous, like, yeah, come on, we're tearing this whole thing down. And then when they want to rebuild it, they're coming to you with, like, oh, you know who'd be good? Rudy Giuliani. Well, let's go with him. And the fact that Trump has surrounded himself with Pence and Giuliani and, like, all these crazy people, Jeff Sessions and all these guys, it's a very, very dangerous group. And you know, we have to form some type of opposition against them. Now, again, it's like, I also have to look at the other members of the opposition, and it's like, if McCain and Lindsey Graham are also on the opposition of Trump, it's like, you know, I have no interest in joining with them. Mm-hmm. Those people are killers as well, and they're going to be putting pressure on him for all the wrong reasons. And then you have the big opposition, of course, which has been the left, loosely speaking, or I guess any of these people who have been out protesting. It's since Trump came out and passed, this is... As you could probably tell already, if you're listening to the show, right? Like, I'm way more outraged over the strike in Yemen than I am over this immigration executive order. And I don't know, that just kind of makes sense to me. It seems like I think it's wrong that people aren't being allowed to travel freely, and I certainly believe me. As someone who flies a lot, I mean, I've probably taken, you know, 5 plane rides in the last 2 months. As someone who flies a lot, I can really relate to somebody getting stopped at the airport. I mean, I was detained at the airport once for like an hour.
It's horrible.
And it was really horrible. So for that Iraqi guy, for a family with their kids, being detained at the airport, that is really, it really sucks. And for anybody, I think as anarcho-capitalist libertarians, we completely say for anyone representing a government to stop the free movement of human beings, this is a violation of natural rights and liberty. And it's wrong. But, you know, I don't know why, but my internal moral compass tells me open with murdered an 8-year-old girl, and then we'll get to the detained and Iraqi at the airport for a few hours. And it really, I don't know, man. It never ceases to amaze me the weird goddamn morals that this fucking artificial progressive world we live in holds. And how this is the straw that has broken the back for all these lefties, like this, oh my God, he's restricting immigration from 5 high-risk countries. Mm. This is it. Again, I'm against it. Well, I also said this today on Kennedy. I'll say this of the immigration executive order. Okay, here's what I said on Kennedy. I said, well, here's my prediction, right? It will be ineffective in its goals. It will be ineffective in its goals of stopping, keeping us safe and reducing terrorism. It will waste resources and labor and misallocate them. Yeah. And it will violate individual liberties along the way. In other words, it'll be a government program.
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's
fraud and abuse.
Yes. Yeah. This is, in other words, it'll be like any other government program in the world. And yes, it's not a good one.
Well,
I
sure,
don't particularly
yeah.
support it.
You were talking, I mean, like the, go ahead, but.
But for this to be the thing. The thing that you jump on board with, I mean, it just shows this unbelievable, I mean, it's either unbelievably strange priorities or just a willful ignorance of what's going on. And I'll tell you, I really think it's more of the second. I think this thing is hugely motivated by virtue signaling. I mean, I really do just think that's what the overwhelming majority of it is. I don't care if you watch whatever the other dumb celebrity fucking stupid award show last night where they're all ranting and raving about this. It's all virtue signaling. It's just all virtue. Yeah, that's the one. That's
Film Actors Guild.
That's the fag awards. Yeah. Oh, God, that was great. Oh, Team America, great movie. But yeah, I mean, it's all just virtue signaling. And they pick this issue where, I guess the Yemen thing, right? You'd almost wonder, because it does seem to be this weird basic thing where you'd wonder why, if you really hated Trump and you want to protest whatever he's doing, why wouldn't you go with murdering the 8-year-old girl?
Right.
And I guess the main reason, besides maybe just not wanting to be aware of it and nobody really cares, is that, of course, then you'd have to go, oh, well, if you really want to call Trump a murderer, you'd say, just 2 weeks ago, Obama murdered a whole bunch of people in Libya. So, you know, because, oh, by the way, if you don't know, Obama went out, you know, with like, well, yeah, why not? Let a few more rip. in Libya in his last week. So there,
and Obama murdered this girl, the 8-year-old girl that we're talking about, was an Awlaki.
Oh yeah. That's the other goddamn
thing. Anwar Awlaki's daughter.
How many Awlakis do we got to take out?
Right.
Let one Awlaki live.
We killed all of
them. They can't all be terrorists.
No, they're not.
She was 8.
Yeah. It's tragic. Yeah.
What was she? Was she giving info to Al-Qaeda?
Probably not. But yeah, I mean, look, this is the...
Like, hey, Al-Qaeda, Elmo's awesome. Can you use this? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she's a little old for Elmo.
But yeah, the priorities, like in my line of thinking, so I think this is interesting. Donald Trump gave a speech at the CIA, I think a couple weeks ago. Did you happen to see that at all? But he's like, I am so behind you. He was like, I am so with you. You don't even know how with you I am. So
I couldn't even be more with you. If I was more with you, I would just be you.
If I was more with you, I would absolutely just be inside of you.
Be inside of you.
But he gave the speech to the CIA, and it's just like, and they're all cheering, and they love the speech that he gave at the CIA. And you know, you're talking about like this information coming out. Like, why is it not a priority that we are hearing about murdering an 8-year-old girl? I mean, it's not being disseminated in the mainstream sources. People aren't picking up on it, and so they just don't know. Or they don't care, or they're too psychologically like traumatized from being living in a culture that's been at war for the forever. I don't know what it is.
It's really quite amazing.
All those things.
When you really when you sit back and think about it, and I just see the outrage in everybody. It really is like they just pretend the war machine isn't what it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's this big... It's
like having an abusive father. You don't want to admit that he's like hurting you.
Well, they said the outrage that you see from these journalists. Over this Iraqi guy who was detained at the airport for a while, and I'm seeing, and these people are out there and they're protesting all this, and you just think about the, you know, it's like something like 4 million is the estimate of Muslims have been killed in U.S. NATO led wars and, you know, military actions and things like that, and I believe that includes like sanctions and stuff like that too, and that's not to say how many just countries have been destroyed, how many people have been displaced, and all this, and the idea that, you know, this is your thing. I remember it reminded me of an episode we did years ago. If you're a subscriber and you can go back and listen to it, or maybe some of you did, but I believe it was called Successful Bombing. And I picked up on this. It just was really interesting to me. I'll just kind of go over more or less what my thing on that was now, because I believe it as much now as I did then, and it just kind of popped in my head today. And more or less what had happened, it was when Obama announced he was going back into Iraq. He had celebrated a bunch that we were out, and then ISIS popped up, and they beheaded that guy, that journalist Foley, and he was like, you know, we're gonna have to go back into Iraq for some limited targeted strikes, and you know, so some of these non-combat troops are gonna go murder some
not
people.
Not so many boots on the ground.
Yeah,
a couple
yeah.
Slippers.
They will hover right above the ground.
Yeah.
None of the boots will touch dirt. So I kept my promise. So Obama starts bombing, you know, some targeted strikes or whatever against some ISIS targets. And Obama comes out and he says the strikes that I authorized the other day against ISIL inside of Iraq were all successful. And there was something about that that really just stuck with me, where it was like, oh, they were all successful. And the word successful just... I wasn't quite sure. I couldn't put my finger on it at the time, but it just stuck with me. And I sat there and I went, okay, so let me get this straight. And I'd say it now. You know, I'm 33 now. I forget exactly how old I was when we did that first successful bombing episode, but 33 and the war, the first Persian Gulf War was in 92. Or 91? 90,
yeah,
91. 90, was it? Okay, so and 90, and we start bombing the crap out of Iraq, you know? And then under Clinton, we have these harsh sanctions. They bomb them more. There's just hundreds of thousands are killed because of the sanctions. Thousands more killed because of the bombs. Of course, not to mention the thousands, you know, as I mentioned, the thousands were killed in the cleanup of the first war. Then, of course, after 9/11, George W. Bush goes, like, you know, it's like George H.W. Bush was bombing the crap out of them. Then Clinton was bombing the crap out of them. Then George W. Bush was bombing the crap out of them. Then Obama was bombing the crap out of them. Like, we've been bombing Iraq for just decades. It's like 25 years of bombing the crap out of these countries. And I wonder how many of those bombings we deemed successful.
Mm, yeah.
what the fuck does successful even mean? I mean, to me, if you're still having to bomb innocent people 25 years later, I don't think those bombs have been very successful. I would go back and go, and anyway, the reason I thought about this was, of course, because Donald Trump described his attack in Yemen the same way. He said the attack that I said was successful. And I always just wondered, successful bombing, such a funny thing to me. Like, what exactly does it mean? They blew up? That's what bombs do when they dropped.
Yeah.
There was a house there. It's no longer there. Successful. Okay, yes, we understand that bombs kill people. I don't know if that's successful. I call it murder. You call it a success. Potato?
Well, yeah, I mean, the way that they look at it is if they can take out a target, if they know of potential terrorists in an area, and they could take out the target, but there's two other, collateral damage people in the vicinity, they're still going to take that strike. They're still going to make that hit. And that's just fucking insane to me that you could just murder murder people like that and just call, well, there, you know, there was some collateral damage there. I mean, we talk about this, right? Like how, if there was a gunman in like Detroit, like you wouldn't just send like a drone.
Right.
To fucking like drone strike them and we accidentally killed like 15 children that were nearby. Collateral damage. It's totally insane. And I just think that it's like far too long that people have just been like, oh, well, whatever's going on over there, it's just far away and it's kind of out of our purview. And who the hell knows? I don't know. There's terrorists over there. Got to get them somehow.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, look, yeah, I don't know. This shit has to end, man. Otherwise, we're in some big fucking trouble.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's crazy that people won't wake up to that, and that's just why it's when you know that, when you know what we've done, what the U.S. military has done to these people, when you know what they've done, particularly as I was saying to Iraqis, to see that our federal government, you know, wrote an executive order and it ended in a Muslim guy being detained in the airport for a few hours, that may be the nicest thing our federal government has done to an Iraqi in the last 25 years. It's just hard to pick this as the thing to be outraged over. And it really shows something, again, where, like, to the left, it's just all about, like, sensitive language, identity, and identity team politics. So as soon as it's not their guy in there, it's the other guy, we're up in arms. And as long as you're not saying nice things, like if Obama gets out there and he goes, I believe that Islam is a religion of peace, and then bombs the crap out of them, that's fine. But if Trump just goes, we're going to tighten their high-risk people, so we're not going to let them in, now this is the moral outrage of the century. I don't know how exactly I'm supposed to just support people who have been ignoring mass murder for the last 8 years. And now all of a sudden, when they find it convenient to take down this other guy, are going to pretend that tightened immigration is the fucking, you know, I don't know, moral travesty of our time.
Yeah.
I'm very scared for what Trump might do. And here's another thing that sucks is that all this protest now, I think, is going to be completely impotent because they've all, boy who cried them wolves, blown their wad out of it ever meaning anything. Like, there's, when Trump does something really horrible and there's a big protest,
saying, yeah,
they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, they protest everything he does, so it kind of just waters it down. Again, it's just so ridiculous. Like, look, Obama dropped something like over 25,000 bombs
last year. 26,000 bombs just last year.
Just last year on Muslim people, okay? He's dropping bombs on human beings.
His own people.
He also, by the way, he froze immigration from Iraq for like 6 months. He did the same thing to one of these countries for 6 months. He deported millions of people. Okay, it's just kind of insane that last week it wasn't a problem, and this week we're going to JFK Airport.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wake up a little bit here. And a lot of people are telling me, I've heard people kind of challenge me and say, well, Dave, why are you trying to undercut people who agree with you? If you're against the immigration thing, then, you know, be with them that you're against it. And it's like, well, no, dude, if people are waking up now that Trump's in there, if you're waking up, then fine. Wake up and realize that Obama did all this shit, too. And then we can start to talk. By the way, that's at least what the people on the right had to do. At least with George W. Bush, when you went, oh, well, did you complain about Bush spending? They're like, no, you're right. Bush shouldn't have spent all that money either. And people at least like who became libertarians in that time frame, like me and Mike, we all had to go like, yeah, fuck Bush too. Fuck him too. So where's anybody on the left going, yeah, fuck Obama too? I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
And there are a few, and I respect those guys. But it's not the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, so I think it says as of 2015, more than 2.5 million undocumented people had been deported by Barack Obama.
Yeah, though I had seen over 3 million, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, that was 2015.
Oh, okay. So maybe, but maybe, but yeah, that's
another million in a year.
And look, I know for some people out there who will say, like, you know, they did kind of broaden the definition of deportation, so a lot of those were like turnaways and traditionally wouldn't have been counted as deportations. But truthfully, if you're a libertarian again, all that stuff is really the same. It's all kind of government getting in the way of a free person just moving and going about their day. I also I do tend to think that the, you know, as I think you guys have known for a while, I tend to think that the threats posed by immigration are a little bit overplayed. And that being said, it was quite hilarious that Merkel of Germany came out and criticized Donald Trump for the immigration ban. I was like, oh my God, of anyone who shouldn't be the spokesman.
Yeah, right.
For this message, like, you really. Maybe sit this one out,
she's
Mark.
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous. And yeah, you're saying like it could be overplayed. I mean, look, like we had the biggest terrorist attack on American soil, 9/11. Those people came in here, they were vetted. You know, I don't know really what this is going to do, except.
Well, look, I guess the counter argument to that would be like we never would have let them in or something like that. But again, look, where we're at now, okay, is. A place where we're probably not a thing like 9/11 is going to be very hard to pull off again anyway. That's why there hasn't been another one of those pulled off. And what they're more pulling is inspiring people for mass shootings and things like that. And from what I understand, the majority of these people have been like first generation, you know, people. Now, I guess you could say, okay, theoretically, going forward, there'll be less first generation Muslims. There'll be less Muslims coming in. Maybe there's a chance to prevent some of it, but. Again, you could go right to the source of the problem and stop murdering people.
That's
over
it.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
And creating this incentive to retaliate.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, it really has been incredible to watch. I don't know if there's been. I think, you know, obviously everything about the Trump moment is unprecedented, and I think it's unprecedented that there's been this level of protest this quickly. Although I was reading earlier about the fact that there were large protests against Ronald Reagan very early into his presidency, and there were protests against his Cold War tactics, there were protests against his deregulation stances and things like that, and you know, he ended up winning re-election, winning by a huge, huge. Blowout margin, 49 states he carried. So, you know, it's we'll see what happens with this whole Trump thing. And I'll tell you, it is – there's got to be something – I was thinking about this a little bit because you remember when I was talking a few episodes back about how interesting it was what Michael Malice was saying when he was talking about how in North Korea they wanted everything to be the same, mm-hmm. and here we always want change. And mm-hmm. I was just thinking what that says about our culture. And it really is a strange thing that the left has where, again, even though I think believing in freedom at all is almost unique for most countries. Like most countries and most cultures and most people don't really celebrate freedom, and it's kind of a unique thing to. So I'm not against a unique thing, but it is very strange that our country, of all the countries in the world, like usually if a country is like at war with another with a group of people, no matter what moral side of that war they're on, and there's people over there who claim to hate them, who come over and try to kill them, and you were to say to those people, we're not letting any more people from over there in. This is a very interesting thing that America goes, oh, you're horrible. Like, I just got to think most people throughout most times in history would have gone, yeah, good, don't let them in. And I think it's only because we live such a high standard of life, and a lot of these people on the left are so removed from any actual real threats in their life that it's really easy to just not, you know, oh no, come on. You would just be racist. I do mm-hmm. think it ends up being a little bit of a privilege thing. Like mm-hmm. it's something about those celebrities who go out there and are just like preaching about how it's like, you know, we should take in all the refugees. And you do tend to sit back and go, that motherfucker, none of them are coming to your neighborhood.
Yeah, you take them.
You know, like
yeah.
it's like none of you are. I mean, I actually saw the Pope out there talking about how we should take in refugees. You asshole, you have a city.
Right.
You own a city.
You have a city made of gold.
Yes.
You take
them
in.
Take them into your fucking city.
It would be holy if you did. Not me. I can't. I don't have enough room. I only have a cot I could spare. But you take them in.
I will check. Ooh, no vacancy. Look at that. But you know what it says in verse 9, chapter 3. Thou shalt taketh away what thou... I'm just winging it. I don't know. I've never read the stupid book. But it's. I mean, it's really just unbelievable. A fucking guy in this... I got to listen to some fucking dude in a sheet who owns a fucking city lecture me about how the rest of us should take people in. You know, I don't even like, I remember Joe DeVito. He's a funny comedian, and he's on some of these Fox News gigs with me, but he said one time, it was a great point he made, but he goes, you know, we have this world where it's like people, these rich kind of lefty celebrities, they advocate that they'll say, you know, you're like, they live in a gated community, but you're a bigot if you want to build a wall. They have an armed shotgun, but you're an idiot if you want to have a gun. You know, like they, it's like all these,
they have
these
like
things.
Armed guards,
yeah,
or
it's
like
armed guns.
Private
that's
security,
what I mean. Like a private security, but you're an idiot. And it's like all these things that they get the benefit of, but then they look down at you if you, you know. And I do think there's something about these people going like, oh, we should just bring all of these refugees in here, and then they're like, okay, but we'll dump them in like, you know, so one of these towns. Where you know, some you know, working class poor white people who probably all voted for Trump or something, you know, we'll dump them in there, and then they'll look down at those people for being like, we don't want none of these stinking refugees in here.
Yeah.
Look, I will say this, that when it comes to the refugee thing, obviously I think that the libertarian position first and foremost has to be some type of diagnosis of how we got here. And I know, I find this all the time, people on the right these days, they want to dismiss this and just like, yeah, well, we're here already. So don't, let's try. I was like, no, dude. We got to understand how we got here. Because let me tell you something. That's something that's been sticking with me now for a little. I am a, say 2007, you know, was the moment I told you when Ron Paul and Giuliani, remember that first sparked my libertarianism? So it's going on 10 years now. And it'll be the end of 2007. But 10 years that I've been in this libertarian business. And I wasn't completely convinced for like the first year or so, but more or less speaking, about 10 years I've been in this game. And you start to notice trends and things like that the longer you've been in it. And, you know, anyway, I guess, you know, maybe I'm still a year away from being able to talk about the 10-year mark because it was really right at the end of 2007, I believe.
Okay.
I believe it was.
Well, I'll give you a pass.
Pass.
We'll give you a pass here. Yeah.
Anyway, shoot. Let me circle back to my fucking point. Sorry. Where was I? Mike?
Ron
never do
Paul
this.
And Giuliani were 69ing on the 69ing. Debate stage.
There we go. Thanks for pulling me back. Now, do you remember what?
Remember that moment? That moment was great.
No. Do you actually remember what I was coming off of though? Because I saw you, guys. That's terrible.
You were talking about that moment and the trends that have been going on the past 10 years.
Right. But do you remember the point I was coming off of that? God damn it. Sorry about that,
folks. You know, I have a lot big job to do, and I can't really...
Listening to me should be one of them. All right. sorry. I can't blame you. I fucked up on it. Anyway, God fucking damn it. I almost want to fucking rewind to get back to that fucking point that I was on.
But, yeah, well...
anyway. Well, here we go, guys. Look
maybe
at
you shouldn't
Dave
drink
Smith,
Death Wish Coffee.
Death Wish Coffee. Fucking with my system, everybody. Okay. Anyway, been going over some trends for a while. So, okay, I'm back on my point. So the point I'm making is that, look, you can sit here and say, oh, we're here now. It's a mess. And we can't focus on exactly how we got here. We need to just focus on going forward. And I will tell you that the first step always has to be focusing on how we got here. And the reason I know this is because after being in this 10 years now, I go, they're always using that trick.
Right.
They're always going like, oh, yeah, well, we shouldn't have fought the war in Iraq, but if we pull out in a hurry, there'll be a bloodbath. If we do this, this will go this way. Or we'll do... So they're always using this trick of like, no, don't think about how we got here. I remember them saying this, maybe, you know, say... 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, always using this argument.
Yeah.
And if at any one of those points we had stopped and actually taken the lessons of history and how we got here, we would have not made things worse to the point we're at now. We would have not armed ISIS because we would have gone, oh, no. Let's not intervene again because we understand what blowback is and what causes these problems to begin with. So you have to start from that. If you're coming at what's going on with any of these countries that Donald Trump is putting on this list, you have to start understanding. You know, I was on TV with someone today, and one of the guys who is a Trump supporter and a more right-wing leaning guy, he said, you know, a bunch of these countries Trump's put on the list, they don't even have governments. And I responded by saying, you know, most of them did. until we went in and overthrew them.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to understand where this – you have to understand that these countries were utterly destroyed by the U.S. military through you know, multiple different things. Some were just the military came in and just overthrew the regimes and murdered a whole bunch of people and destroyed the country. Some it's just hit with terrible sanctions and drone bombs and, you know, random military attacks like that. Some it's propped up, you know, and sent in tons of weapons to really nasty people who go on to murder a whole bunch of people. All types of stuff like that. But this overwhelming refugee crisis and this problem with terrorism and all of this stuff comes from blowback from foreign policy, and you have to understand that. And if you don't, we're never going to get anywhere. And the fact that Obama expanded the Bush's wars and expanded the amount of bombs that we dropped and expanded the amount of money we spend on a military and the number of countries that we're involved in, and the fact that now this problem has gotten far worse kind of backs up that argument.
Yeah.
It kind of backs it up that as you spread, as Obama started bombing more countries, there's terrorists in more countries. I mean, does nobody see that overwhelming fact? As Obama brought this fight to all these different countries, there's now Al-Qaeda and ISIS in way more countries. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's that fact. But and if you're talking about the refugees, of course, this is true as well. Now, a bunch of refugees, by the way, flooded into Syria during the Iraq War. Syria was the place where a lot of people went to, because about half of Iraq was displaced. Iraq's got something like 30, 32 million people in the country. Close to 15 million were displaced in George W. Bush's war / Obama's war in Iraq. So a whole bunch of them flooded into Syria. And then Syria, as we, you know, started deciding Assad's got to go, and started funding funding and arming every crazy fucking anti-Assad person in Syria, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS, that you know, a lot of people started dying. And then now they're all flooding out of there, too. So we have a refugee crisis. We have to understand how we got here, unless, you know, you guys want to keep doing this and keep dealing with this for eternity. So, okay, so we should probably understand where
this
is coming
from. Well,
yeah,
that's the famous quote, right? Those who don't understand the past are doomed to repeat it.
Yes, yes.
That's what's going on.
Now, there does, I think, have to be some balance here where you go, as these people are coming out, I will say there is something here where I think we do need to be somewhat nuanced in our approach and aware of different sides of the argument, because now that if we understand what's going on, what caused this, okay, and we truly understand the amount of death and destruction that the U.S. military has brought to this people, I think it's really important for libertarians to not be heartless, even if just rhetorically, when it comes to talking about refugees. I'll tell you something, some libertarians, and even some libertarians who I respect very much, who I've learned a tremendous amount from and love reading their books, I've seen the topic of refugees come up, and they'll literally be like, well, I don't want to let in a bunch of refugees to come eat off our welfare system. And it's like, look, even if they would end up eating off our welfare system, I just don't know, man. It's people. It's like children, women, and men who have just been through hell who are trying to escape it.
Yeah.
And you would probably do the exact same thing if you were in their circumstances. And I don't understand why you wouldn't, at least when thinking about it, have a little bit of a humanitarian impulse to be like, man, that sucks. That sucks that these gangsters who steal my money from me spent it on fucking these people over, and now they've got to live a life that's so shitty I couldn't even wrap my head around it. I don't understand how that's not your impulse. Just forget any politics. Just be a decent person. Just be a decent person first and let that come off. I got to say, if you're trying to convince anybody of your philosophy, being a decent person and letting it be shown that you're a decent person is like a prereq. It's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't see that and people see that you're kind of cold and don't care about other people, I don't see why they would jump on board with you. And like I've said, I've always believed like libertarians are the true humanitarians, and I don't know why we wouldn't embrace that role. So I do think there should be a feeling of, okay, especially when someone in the U.S. federal government is telling you, like, we can't, these refugees are crazy. It's like, excuse me, you're a part of the organization that destroyed this part of the world, so be careful. That being said, it doesn't make sense for us to, in mass, take in a lot of people from Syria. Of course it doesn't. I mean, just distance-wise, it doesn't, and culture-wise, it doesn't. And the fact is that we have... at this point, we do have to deal with the reality, right? Okay, so I'm all for dealing with the reality and moving forward, but first you got to understand that the U.S. military murdered hundreds of thousands of millions of people, and that they're destroyed these countries, and that's why we are where we are. Not saying they'd have perfect lives if we were over here minding our business, but we wouldn't have the problems we are having right now.
100%.
So that's where you have to understand that, and you have to be somewhat of a decent person and a humanitarian about that, and understand that, you know, not all of them are fucking terrorists, and not all of them are bad, you know, and some of them lived in cities, and though maybe they're a little backward compared to us, they had regular fucking lives and were maybe decent people just kind of taking care of their family. I will say, you understand that, and then you can be a reasonable person within there. And then you can also say, oh, okay, well, you know what? We can't just, even if the military, in the name of us, people like me and you, murdered a whole bunch of people, those people now, probably a lot of them, hate us. Just the military. And to some degree, rightfully so. So they hate us, so I don't know if it makes sense to just flood them in by the tens of thousands, because that might be dangerous. And obviously, in a free country, we would solve this problem so easily, which is that private property would be around, and you'd have to welcome someone into your property, you'd have to assume risk onto the town you're in, there'd be easy solutions for this. But we don't have that world, so all we need to do as libertarians is say, we don't want to subsidize any of these people coming over. Now, I think what would make a lot of sense, is to put pressure on these other countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and some of these other countries that we do a lot of business with that are Muslim countries that speak the same language, have the same culture, and put pressure on them to take in some of these refugees. I very much believe that that is achievable if we really wanted to mount pressure. And if all this pressure...
Yeah, and if Trump's such a good negotiator, let him negotiate that deal.
Right, well, right. So I think something like that is possible, but I think it's completely reasonable to say we shouldn't... We shouldn't be subsidizing all of these refugees coming over here, because it just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe we should, but we should take all the money out of the politicians in the deep state.
Well, I guess, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it makes any sense just in terms of the physical gap, like distance gap, and the cultural gap, and the whole and the history of our two nations. I just don't think this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I think there's other solutions that make more sense, but. The libertarian position cannot be to demonize an entire group of people. I mean, it cannot be to become collectivists who lump in everybody over there as primitives, and therefore it's okay if the state. You know, one of the things that has really kind of the arguments that I just could not get on board with, that I think pretty much all of the anarcho-capitalists who moved over to the alt-right have gotten on board with, is that basically they'll say this, okay? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think even Hans Hermann Hoppe, he said it differently, but I don't know if he supports the state immigration. Look, Rothbard and Hans Hermann Hoppe, I know, flirted with this argument, but certainly a lot of people, anarcho-capitalists who have gone alt-right, make it. But they'll basically say this. They'll go, in an anarcho-capitalist society, in Ancapistan or Ancapia.
Sounds Muslim.
Sounds, yeah, Capistan is a little
and
Muslim.
And Capistan.
But in the perfect, you know, voluntarist free society, you go, you wouldn't exactly have open borders. You'd have private borders, and you'd have a whole lot of private borders, and you would be able, you'd be able basically to travel the same way I could say, like, go to Texas now. I mean, you know, book a plane ticket, book a hotel, or stay, you know, if I have a friend who's going to invite me to there. I mean, it solves itself. And you couldn't just come in and flood a community if you weren't invited and just start hanging out on because it would be someone else's property, and they could easily be like, well, I don't want you here. And if someone did want you on their property, you could go there. It would be an easy solution if everything was privatized. However, what they'll say is, under private situations, you could never really envision what we currently have. In other words, if you look at Mexicans kind of flooding over the border and all of their education, healthcare, you know, whatever else you want to say, roads, medical care, all of these things subsidized by the government, that would never happen in a free market society, which is true. None of it would happen in a free market society. So they say, because that doesn't happen in a free market society, we can kind of root for the outcome that's most in line with a free market society. So in other words, closing the borders would probably be closer. And they'll make this argument that they'll go, look, is it a Stefan Molyneux straight out made this argument. He goes, look, it is a violation of the non-aggression principle to not let someone cross the border. But if they come over and they live off the welfare system, that's also a violation of the non-aggression principle for your right to not. So it's, which do you choose, this or that? Now, I just can't get on board with this line of thinking. To me, if you're an anarcho-capitalist libertarian, if you go down this road, everything falls apart. It just collapses the entire moral high ground of the argument. It's like one of the things that I always really loved about Murray Rothbard, he would always use that kind of a reducto ad absurdum on his enemy's arguments. So he would go, well, you either believe in property rights or you believe in no property rights. And if you take that to its logical conclusion, it makes no sense. So you look, if you take it to its logical conclusion that we can support violations of the non-aggression principle because maybe then there'll be less future violations of the non-aggression principle, or that we can support a state if it makes the world look more like a voluntarist world would look, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, and you can go down a lot of doors and give up every principle you have. And I've seen a lot of them start to do it, because the next step after that is you go like, oh, okay, well, in a free market, say drug use or over drug use, right, drug abuse would have natural consequences. You could quite possibly lose your job. You damage your cognitive ability. You whatever. You damage your fit, your body. You damage, you know, whatever. There are consequences for becoming a drunk or a heroin addict or something like that. And in the state, there maybe would take away some of those consequences because you can collect a welfare check or go on unemployment or something like that. Okay, or maybe get some like state subsidized rehab. So maybe we should support the war on drugs, because that now makes a consequence. So maybe that's more of a voluntarist like world. But do you already see how many? I mean, you could literally support the income tax. You could support a safety net. I could say, well, I think in a free society, people would end up kicking in 10% of their income for a safety net. So let's have the government tax people at 10%. I mean, if once you give up the principle of fighting against the fighting against aggression, then you can go down any bad path. So my answer to, if there are people coming over here and they are getting subsidized healthcare or subsidized that, then yes, the person who's robbing the taxpayer through taxation is committing an act of aggression, and we should be against that. But we can't be against the free movement of people just because maybe in a free society there would be something that regulated it. Yeah. The other thing I would say to my libertarian friends is, do not embrace this idea that Islam is inherently a religion of violence, that they're culturally violent. Look, this is why you have to understand what led us here. These wars have destroyed so many of these places, and their culture has gone to shit. Now, look, I'm not trying to pretend that first world people and third world people are exactly the same culturally. I'm not trying to pretend that we have all the same values, or that we just, in a basic term, value human life the same. And I think a lot of people, particularly progressives in this country, do not understand that. They do not understand the difference in savagery, in average life, between first world and third world cultures. That being said, America has traditionally done this very well. Now, if you look at a country like Germany that has these very socialistic policies, okay, and they've just had people flooding in from war zones in Muslim countries. Well, and they took a million. What is Germany has like maybe 30 million people. Don't kill me if I'm off with these numbers. Like maybe 30 million people, and they just took in a million refugees. Like they've taken in a huge portion of their country as refugees, and they're flooding in from these war zones, and it's not working out well at all. And if you subsidize and give out welfare to the war-torn refugees and bring them right in, yeah, it may not work out at all. But let me tell you something. New York has a ton of Muslims over here, and we do it pretty fucking well. And the way America has traditionally drawn immigrants in has been somewhat consistent with libertarianism, and it's this. It's, we tell everybody we're a city on a hill, there's freedom here, and there's basically open borders. That's been most of America's history with immigration, okay? And basically, that's worked out very well. Yeah. And I'll tell you, libertarians, embrace this, because capitalism solves so many of these problems. You know, we were just talking about the other day, me and Jay were down in North Carolina. We did this last episode down there, and we're taking like Ubers around and stuff. And we're just talking to this like Southern black guy who's driving the cab, and then he found out, I don't know, we were just talking football for some reason, came up, and Jay mentioned he's an Eagles fan, and then he's like, oh dude, I'm an Eagles fan. And next thing you know, they're like talking about like 90s football, and it's just a funny thing where like in entertainment, a business, something like this, we're in this situation where someone who's in a completely different culture than us, like a Southern black guy, Jay's a Philly white guy, you know what I mean? And there's this thing where everybody's just kind of getting along, being nice to each other. We leave that, we go, hey, have a great day, sir. Hey, you guys have a great day too. Well, no, I'm not saying we all actually loved each other, but it was pretty pleasant. Everybody wished each other a nice day, and that's it. And why is it? He's providing a service that we want. We're giving him money that he wants. At the end of the day, this guy's trying to go home. We gave him a nice tip. That you give me a nice tip, I'm pretty happy with you. Anybody ever been a server, a cab driver, anything like that before? At the end of the day, you're working. You're working hard so you can go home with something a little bit nicer. You're happy. Look, I live here in New York City. Ben Shapiro, who I respect very much, he can make all those videos he wants about what Muslim opinion polls. But do you know what they think about Jews? Believe me, if you polled all the Muslims in New York City about their true belief about Jews, you could come up with some pretty anti-Jewish shit, okay? I'm a Jew. As I just said, I think Muslim culture overall is very barbaric and third world culture, and they should treat their fucking women and their gays a lot better, and their kids, particularly, their children, a lot better, okay? I have no... But at the end of the day, I go to a bodega all the time. I get in a cab all the time. And dude, he wants his money, and I want my ride home from the stand. That's all that fucking matters. Capitalism solves so many of these problems. Free markets solve so many of these problems. You know what doesn't solve these problems? Governments. This is what doesn't. This is what makes things worse. And if you think Trump coming in here with this kind of like tariffs, we're going to ban people, we're going to use government to kind of pigeon, like stick their chests out and peacock in front of all these people, like this is the strength I have, this will not work out well, man. This is not what brings people together. Don't embrace collectivism. Don't embrace like racism or any of this nonsense. You don't have to, man. You really don't have to. There's good people and bad people. And the important distinction, when it really comes down to it, for society, for us as a whole, the important distinction is who's violent and who's not. Who's initiating force and who's not. That's really the only lens we got to look at. And if you think that, you know, when you see even like something, you know, all these race realists and all those people, and I'll tell you, like I said, some of them are real anti-war. Any of the anti-war ones, I'll at least stand with to some level. I don't give a fuck what you're other. You could be racist as shit as long as you're not being violent to anyone and you're anti-war. I'll talk to you. I'll have you on the show. That's fine. But just know for all the people who are standing with them, what ends up happening when you get your candidate in, right, is you get a Trump who surrounds himself with neocons, right? Surrounds himself with the fucking Mike Pences and Jeff Sessions and Rudy Giuliani's. And if you think these neocons, if you think, Lindsey Graham and John McCain and George W. Bush and, you know, whatever, all these guys, Paul Wolfowitz and all these crazy motherfuckers, if you think they're not every bit as much of a threat as anyone of another skin color is to you know, the future of this country, I don't think you're paying attention. All right, guys.
Whoa, you still got time left, man. I think you could keep going, dude. That was fucking...
Yeah. I'm going to try to finish that. Unfortunately, we got to wrap up because I'm about to jump in a cab and over to Red Eye. But we will keep going. We're going to figure it out. But either tomorrow or Wednesday,
we'll
record a bonus episode.
Cool.
Okay? For you guys. Again, apologies for cutting short a little bit. But we'll be back onto a normal schedule here. I'm back in New York for the next month or so. So we'll be back on a normal schedule. Thank you guys so much for listening. Continue to. Please.